It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmel.
With Lance Meadow right here on Giants.com, Big Blue Kickoff Live presented by Andrew Mark, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You can send in your questions on Twitter as well, the hashtag Giants Chat. And this is the point of the preseason, Lance, where I always get to the area in my mind, and I'm just like, I'm done with preseason football. Let's play some real games. You got one left tomorrow night, but are you as tired as watching these meaningless games as I am?
Well, listen, they've been arguing to cut these preseason games in half, if not get rid of them completely. So I think most people would agree that they're tired of the preseason. They're ready for the regular season. The good news for Giants and the Giants fan base is that they're first up. Giants-Cowboys in about a week away. So,
correct.
You know, things are getting pretty amped up, pretty excited. And before you know it, the Giants will actually be playing real football that counts in the standings.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. And you open up with the big division game next Wednesday night. But there still is, Lance, a lot of things to be decided with this New York Giants football team. Not quite sure yet who some of the guys at the back end of the roster are going to be. And a lot of that, frankly, is going to have to do with injuries at these positions and what guys are actually going to be able to play early on. Because if you have guys like Kiwanuka and Boley that aren't going to be able to play in the first week or two, maybe even, you're going to have to keep some extra linebackers. You're going to lose something elsewhere.
But that makes the decision easy because they've got plenty of depth at that linebacker position. And at this point, it's pretty hard to decide who to cut because everyone's pretty much been performing for the most part. So I would think that if they have the opportunity and the space to keep multiple linebackers, they'll take full advantage of that. The same thing can be said for the defensive tackle position. By moving Canty to the PUP list, you figure they're going to keep at least an additional defensive tackle because they need some extra depth in case somebody else goes down. Now the rotation is a lot different than it was last season when you had Joseph, Bernard, and Canty. You don't have that mix anymore.
Yeah, you're right, and you are going to have that mix there, defensive tackle. We'll see what ends up happening at defensive back. Now Tyler Sash has the injury to go along with the suspension. He met with Roger Goodell yesterday. No word yet on how that meeting went. I'm sure we'll hear something about that today.
Sash actually says he's dealt with that injury before.
Right.
It sounds worse than it is, at least to me.
Yeah, an ankle, first of all, coach said, hey, his ankle locked up. I'm like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
But apparently you have bone spurs in your ankle, can get kind of caught in the joint or whatever. Sounds like fun. Something everyone would don't want to experience. But he apparently is going to be okay. But, you know, it depends what's going to happen now with these final couple, final preseason game. And these guys are going to have a lot of chance to prove themselves. So if a good half of football, you imagine the ones will go close to a quarter, the twos will go, probably the rest of the first half. And then the second half will be all the threes and the fours. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
And speaking of the corner spot, which you just alluded to, John, there's an opportunity here for a lot of guys because Michael Cole, you figure, is going to right now start opposite Corey Webster. You know, God forbid one of those guys get hurt. Who are you going to turn to at this point?
Well, Corey Webster's the guy. He right now, if there was one person on this Giant team besides Eli Manning that you would say you cannot afford an injury to that one player, it's Corey Webster.
But even if Michael Cole gets hurt, I mean, you need to be able to turn to somebody, especially if Prince Amukamara and Hosley are not ready to go for the opener. You know, Tryon, who's going to step up? Who's going to make a statement if their number has to be called?
Well, Tryon's a veteran. I think that's a guy the Giants will have some amount of faith in to do a solid job. The Giants obviously had their cuts yesterday. They let go of Antoine Molden, another veteran defensive back. Chris Horton, a veteran safety, was let go. Neither one of those were really surprises. Brandon Bing let go as well. So I think Tryon's the next guy up. I think he's the third cornerback if you don't get Hosley and Prince back for that home opener.
He's a guy that's had experience. Another one who said he's been willing to move over to at least the nickel spot has been Will Hill, who's been brought in primarily as a safety, but he says he's more than willing to go back to what he became familiar with in college when he was moved to that nickel back spot.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if I like the idea of a young Will Hill, a year out of football, a safety covering speedy wide receivers in the slot. If you're the Giant, if you're a Giant fan, on next Wednesday night, do you want to see Will Hill lining up man on man with Miles Austin in the slot against the Cowboys? I wouldn't.
But it's not bad going up against Victor Cruz at practice every day.
Well,
that
helps. I've seen him get burnt by Victor.
Well,
Cruz
I mean,
at
listen, whether or not
too.
He's succeeding, I'm just saying it's good at least to get the reps underneath.
Right,
his
that's
belt.
True.
Listen, I'm not saying that anybody else is going to get hurt, and I know Giant fans wants to see another corner go down, but the depth chart. Let's put things in perspective here. It's not what it was a couple of weeks ago entering training camp. So, therefore, you need these guys to really get their reps in, get the experience in, specifically in this last preseason game. So, if they need to mix and match a few guys come the opener against the Cowboys, you're not just going to turn to a guy that has cold feet and hasn't really had much experience.
All right, let's go to our phones lines at 201-939-4513. Let's go to Richard in New Jersey. Richard, thanks for holding, man. We appreciate it. What's going on?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good morning.
I was wondering if the Giants would keep 7 wide receivers to add David Douglas on.
I don't think you're going to keep 7. I think right now you're at 6, and if you have a lot of injuries, a DB or linebacker with guys not on PUP, you might have to reduce that to 5, to be honest with you. I don't think they will, but I think that's something they'll talk about based on all these other injuries. But even if they don't hold the 7, I think there's still a chance that David Douglas is that 6 guy, to be honest with you, Richard.
All right, really? Thanks.
I appreciate it,
Rich.
And he's going to be in competition with Ramsey's Barden, Dan DePalma, Isaiah Stanback, and guys like that for that wide receiver spot.
From a special teams perspective, though, John, you have to admit, Douglas has really done good for himself, specifically in the last game. And they're still looking for a guy that they can rely on punt and kickoff returns. And, you know, Douglas of the group, I think, has been the most consistent. He hasn't had a lot of opportunities. But, you know, Jernigan has had his woes. Hosley's had his issues. Douglas, when his number's been called and he's had the opportunity, I think he's come through. Unfortunately, there were 2 holding penalties on that big return.
Yes.
But, you know, the coaches at least can get past that and say he's got the ability to weave in and out of traffic. He has the opportunity to maybe perhaps be a big-time playmaker. So he could perhaps create an opportunity for himself if it doesn't come as a receiver, at least in special teams. But you're right. You hit it right on the nose. With injuries to the secondary, the linebacker core, and the defensive line, that hurts the offensive positions. Because when you're looking at the board and how this depth chart plays out, you're going to have a tendency to keep more depth at the positions that you're hurting as opposed to the positions where you have a lot of depth. You can afford to get rid of a receiver or two. You can afford to get rid of a defensive back right now, especially when you may not even be able to rely on your 2 top starters come next Wednesday.
Yeah, and that's where this final roster is going to get tricky. I'm sure the Giants are going to have to either try to sneak onto the practice squad or just let go some guys that they believe could help this team on the roster. But because of injuries, they have to keep depth elsewhere. And that could really be an issue down the road here.
And it's always a risk because other teams around the league have scouts. They're going to be looking to patch up some holes. And if a guy gets cut who's made an opportunity or a name for himself in the preseason, other teams are not going to hesitate. So,
Jake
Bauer, it's a big risk.
Perfect example in the offseason.
Even with him hurt, the Patriots knew we could store him away and we can have him put him to at least good use come 2013.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. We're also on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Let's see if we can track down some Twitter questions here that have come in over the last couple of days. Let's see. Got some predictions for Giants-Patriots. Nobody cares about that.
Well, there was a comment here about Ruben Randall.
Oh, what do you got?
Well, just that he's still making mistakes, but clearly he should be the number 3 wide receiver.
I see that from Davino Meister.
Correct.
Okay. Well, this is the tricky thing with Ruben Randall, and I think eventually he is going to be the guy in that number 3 spot. Whether or not it's going to be on Wednesday night, I think, is another question. And the reason I like Randall there is because I like to have that third guy be a big play guy. If you put in a guy that can make a big play, you know, you double Nix, you double Cruz, or both if you want even, you have the Mario Manningham effect, where that guy can beat you for a big play. on the other hand, if it's a guy like Barden, he doesn't have the speed to really beat you down the field because of his lack of foot speed. So I think I like the guy in there that can make the big play more so than I like the guy that can be a possession receiver, for example.
Randall, it's expected that he's going to be making mistakes. He's a rookie. So I think, you know, Giants fans need to keep that in mind. But he has that big playmaking ability that you just touched on. And you're right. It would help if Victor Cruz draws attention, Hakeem Nicks draws attention. All of a sudden, somebody in the secondary needs to account for Reuben Randall. And I know we're going to preview to death this Cowboys game coming up next Wednesday. But just to get ahead of ourselves a little bit.
And that'll start on Friday, by the way.
Morris Claiborne. A rookie that they're going to have in there, Brandon Carr. You know, the Cowboys don't necessarily have a proven third member of the secondary.
Orlando Scandrick.
Well, they do have Gerald Sensabaugh, but the point is, if they have to line up one-on-one with Reuben Randall, I would like Randall's chances in that matchup.
Well, I think you would. That's the thing. I think you would like Reuben Randall's chances in a lot of those matchups. But remember, too, Randall, even though he's going to be the third wide receiver, he's not going to be that slot wide receiver, which is where you would line him up against an Orlando Scandrick. That's where Victor Cruz would wind up, and Randall would be on the outside against either Morris Claiborne or against Brandon Carr. But I think your point still stands in that you want to have a guy that you consider dangerous. If Ramsey Barden catches a 7-yard slant, whatever.
That's not scaring anybody.
You know, and if or Jarrell Jernigan catches a 10-yard drag route over the middle of the field or whatever, big deal. But Reuben Randall can catch the 45-yard post. Big difference.
And Dominic Hickson has the ability to make big plays, too.
Sure he does. He has the speed for it. I don't disagree with that at all.
And he's a guy that I think the Giants are going to need to rely on throughout the course of this season. Obviously, he's trying to get his speed back and his full health back, but he, I think, has looked good throughout the course of the preseason, has made some decent catches. So, you know, don't overlook him, Giants fans. Reuben Randall has the hype. He's got the big expectations because he's a second-round pick. But Hickson is still old reliable, as I like to call him.
He is old reliable.
Assuming that he can stay healthy. That's the big factor for him.
201-939-4513. Back to our phone. Sam in East Brunswick. Good morning, Sam. How are you, pal?
Hey, John. I just had a question with you. I noticed that, you know, every time somebody mentions Will Hill's name, you kind of, you know, you don't like the kid. And I just want to know why. I mean, you say he gets burned by Victor Cruz in practice, and who doesn't Victor Cruz burn? I mean, you know, Victor Cruz, you know, beats double coverage against the, you know, guys in the regular season. And I just want to know what you're holding against Will Hill. I think it's going to have an impact on this team.
I'm not holding anything against Will Hill. I don't think you can. No, leave him out, Melroy. I don't think you can. I don't think you can put him in isolation situations as a slot corner when he's a safety. I think, frankly, any safety put in that position, excluding an Anchor role since he was a cornerback when he first came into the NFL, like you said, is going to struggle against a Victor Cruz type. As a safety, I think Will Hill has tons of potential. I think he's a kid that's trying to put his life together after sitting a year out of football, clearly having a troubled collegiate life attending the University of Miami. I think he'll be on the team. I think he's earned his way onto the team with his play in training camp. He's played well, and I think he could be a big part of the Giants' future at safety. For example, Kenny Phillips is going to be a free agent. If the Giants don't want to spend a lot of money on Kenny Phillips next year when he becomes a free agent, I think they have confidence that Will Hill can continue to improve this year and be a replacement for Kenny Phillips if they don't want to spend the money on him.
Exactly. I agree there. I definitely agree. But my thing is that how many guys are going to be in the slot that have the ability that Victor Cruz does? So I just think that until we get healthy, I think that Will Hill will be able to hold his own against, you know, the regular slot receivers in this league, because there's nobody going to be like, you know, Victor Cruz out there, maybe Wes Welker. You know, other than that, I just don't see that, you know, that much. I don't think he's going to have that big of a problem for a couple of games if we need him there, that's all.
Well, you know what, Sam? You might be right, and quite frankly, I think we're probably going to find out. But remember, the Cowboys do put Miles Austin in the slot. If his hamstring's healthy, that's not going to be an easy matchup for whoever the Giants end up putting in that slot spot. Miles Austin is a pretty darn good receiver.
I agree. Well, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Hey, Sam, thanks for calling, man. No problem. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. What's up, Tim?
Hi, I got a question for you.
What's up, Tim?
Will, can the Giants activate Chris Kennedy from the physically unable to perform list if he passes a physical?
Well, they got to wait. Yeah, they have to wait the first six games because that's basically the rules and regulations for the PUP list. So you're not going to see Chris Canty at the earliest till about week 7, and that's assuming that he's fully healthy. He has confidence, so does Tom Coughlin, but they're going to have to continue to rehab the injury and hope that he's ready to go come week 7.
Look like you wanted to jump in on Will Hill. I cut you off there, Lance.
No, I just wanted to basically bring up the point that it's going to be based on the matchups that he has throughout the course of the upcoming schedule. Can he go up against a Miles Austin? That may be challenging, but then when they go up against the Bucks and the Panthers, who Sam was referring to may not have necessarily as strong as a slot receiver, perhaps that could bode well for Will Hill. I was making the argument when we were discussing it earlier in the show that regardless of whether he succeeds well or not in practice, he's getting the reps in, and that to me is what's important.
Sure,
because the more guys that you have experience, one guy gets hurt, he's one call away from getting thrown into the game. And I'd rather feel comfortable putting him in there that he's had some reps under his belt as opposed to just coming in cold right off the sideline. So that's going to help the Giants in the long run.
And honestly, I don't think you're going to see Will Hill in that slot spot a lot. Jerron Hosley's injury is not like a crazy long-term type of injury. You'll see him back healthy. And I think they love him in the slot, and he has the speed and quickness of a corner to play that spot, I think, a lot more effectively than, say, a Will Hill, for example.
Just from a pure safety perspective, John, as you touched on, long-term, they don't have a lot of depth at safety when you look at the depth chart for the Giants.
Well, Sash is a young guy, though, too.
But Will Hill, if he can develop,
he's a part of the future.
Based on the price tag, that's a good investment.
No question. Yeah,
not a bad problem, Ted.
Get out of Jersey, no question. 201-939-4513. Jesse in Myrtle Beach. What's up, Jess?
What's happening, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling, Jesse.
What's happening?
All right, I want to talk about the left tackle position. When we signed Sean Locklear, for some reason I thought he was older than he is, but he's only 31, 8 years in the league. Eli's saying some great things about him. How much are they trying to rush William Beatty back? Personally, I'm not a huge fan. Not the mauler I thought he was going to be. Now he's got injury issues. Are they ready to just make Sean Locklear the starter and go forward, or are they trying to rush William Beatty back and still make him the man?
Well, I think they're prepared to put Locklear in that spot come week 1. Beatty was doing some work on the side, so he is making progress.
He actually practiced in the team yesterday.
They would like to obviously see him go week 1. I don't know how quickly they want to rush him. Based on how they've approached other players, they take, you know, each individual as it is. So
And the back's chronic, too. You put him in there for too many practices.
You re-aggravate it.
Is he going to have a setback? Backs are tricky. You just don't know when these guys are ready to come back sometimes.
I think the game plan right now, if let's say tomorrow they opened up against the Cowboys, to have Locklear and David Deal in their respective spots. I don't think they're going to play musical chairs, even though the media has been grilling Tom Coughlin about it, because Deal has more experience also on the left side, and Locklear has more experience on the right side. I think they're going to stick to the game plan as is in the preseason. I think it could hurt them if they start making movements, just like it did last year.
Well, personally, it might be a moot point now, because the Beatty practiced on the left side yesterday. David Deal was limited just because of rest purposes. He wasn't hurt or anything. And Locklear took all the snaps at right tackle. So now, is that the Giants preparing Locklear to play right tackle for the regular season opener? I think that's a wait-and-see proposition. I can honestly see it going either way. If I had to guess what they were going to do, I'm with the media. I think it's going to be Deal on the left side, Locklear on the right, only because that's where I think both guys have had the most success. And I've seen Locklear play the left and the right side, and he does have some trouble with speed rushers at times, and he has in the past. Not that he's not going to be solid, he's not going to be good, he certainly will. And I know David Deal didn't have a great year last year. I get all that, but he was a starting left tackle on a Super Bowl championship team. And he's gone up against DeMarcus Ware, he's gone up against Trent Cole, he's gone up against Brian Arakpo. He knows what it takes to deal with these guys, and that's why I think I'd rather have Deal there out on the left side.
When you look back at last season, you know, it was really who knew who was going to play in what spot each and every week. That was the big mystery. I remember going back and forth throughout the course of
Petras,
the season.
Petras, Booth,
Just never know who was going to be ready to go. But for the most part, with the exception of that Niners playoff game, and maybe you disagree, Schmelk, I think they did a decent job in pass protection.
Pass protection was fine.
It was the running game that struggled as a result of the musical chairs.
That's correct.
So, you know, I understand Locklear has had his issues in the past, and Deal has had his issues in the past. To me, I want to stick with consistency if I'm the Giants entering the season. And this is assuming that Beattie's not ready to go,
okay.
Meaning that they're not confident. There's potential that he could re-aggravate the injury. Assuming he's not ready to go, I would rather the Giants leave things intact because you've had at least four preseason games under your belt with these guys in their respective spots on the left and right side. I would not all of a sudden try to mix it up because I think that could create issues down the road.
That's interesting, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad point, and I think that certainly is a possibility because what you do want to build is some amount of continuity on the offensive line, and that can be just as important as having the most talented guys as having guys in the right spot where they can work together.
And even though they have experience at different spots, not everybody is Kevin Booth. You know, Booth doesn't have much of an issue when he moves from the center to guard spot. Other guys, there's slightly an adjustment period if you shuffle them around from game to game.
201-939-4513. Our good buddy Len in Maryland. What's up, Leonard?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good morning.
Hey, Len.
Just a quick observation, which I hope you can give me a comment on, and then a frustration and a prediction, but all very quickly. First of all, on the observation, it seemed like in the Jets game that McCants was playing on the left side and Brewer was playing on the right side in the second half. Against the Bears, it looked like they switched up. Frankly, I thought McCants was doing better on the left than he was on the right, and Brewer was doing better on the right than he was on his left, on the left. And I was wondering what you thought about what their primary position would be. Secondly, my quick frustration here regarding the PUP list, if I understand the PUP list correctly, if we had PUPed Terrell Thomas before the season started, we actually have up to about a 12-week window before we could had to make a decision about putting him on the 53.
Correct.
I just keep wondering why we rushed the thing with Terrell. 2 years in a row, same knee, ACL. Now we're in a kind of in a tough position. My quick prediction: I'd be satisfied with 10-6 in the playoffs. Wouldn't be surprised if it was 11 or 12 wins. And quite frankly, and here we go, preseason prediction, I wouldn't grab my chest and fall over if they won 13. I'd like your comments on a couple of those things. Thanks a lot. Great show. Keep up the work.
Thanks, Len. Appreciate it. Well, first of all, I like the Len confidence there. Always nice to see. I guess I'll touch on the Terrell Thomas thing first. Well, I'll touch on the offensive line first, and you can touch on Terrell Thomas. I think if you see McCants or Brewer at any primary position over the course of the year, the Giants are probably in some trouble. I mean, both those guys are young guys. They're talented. They're developing. The Giants hope they can, help the team in the future and down the line. But there's a reason they brought in Sean Locklear. They want him to be their third offensive tackle, not one of those two younger guys who I don't think are quite ready yet.
Again,
that's just my opinion, but I don't think they're quite ready yet to be full-time tackles in the league right now, especially McCants. Brewer's much further along and much closer, and maybe given the opportunity, he could do it. But again, he's battled injuries on and off over the course of camp. He's had back issues, things like that. So he has to be healthy too.
And they put Mosley on IR, so you could tell the Giants
stashing him a little bit.
Yeah, they lean more towards the veteran presence than they would to give a rookie an opportunity. I think they're storing him away because they figure they can develop him over time, and when they feel he's confident enough to be perhaps a right tackle for the future, they'll be able to call his number and they won't hesitate. With respect to Terrell Thomas, I don't think really the Giants rushed him. You know, he didn't do an awful lot in the offseason. They did move him along very slowly. So it wasn't as if they threw him right into the mix and said, let's see what you could do. It was unfortunate that he re-aggravated it so quickly into training camp. I don't think they ever expected that. And at this point, he's been aggressive in the rehab process. I think he's more optimistic, though, than the team, John. I don't know if
you have to be, though.
But they have to think in terms of the roster at this point, especially when you got to get it down to 53 by Friday.
Yeah, I don't think they'll IR him quite yet. I don't think they're ready to do that. And obviously, you can't put him on the PUP list because he practiced in training camp, so you can't put him on the PUP list now. But, look, the doctor said he was healed. His ACL was literally healed, and he could have done things at minicamp back in June. The team purposely waited and took their time and gave him extra time and waited until training camp, to get ready. That was basically 11 months plus since the injury happened last year, which is usually enough time for an ACL to heal. That's just, you know, the nature of the beast with the injury. And look, it happens. You know what I mean? Injuries happen. The Giants never rush guys back. Let's look at Chris Canty, for example. He wants to play now.
He said
he was
shocked.
Not letting him. They're making him sit out six games now with some of that because of roster considerations, sure. But his knee's healthier now, according to Chris Canty, than it was when he was playing at the end of last year. The Giants still pupped him. The Giants don't rush people back. They just don't.
It's been their track record, so why should they shy away from that game plan? It's worked in the past.
Yeah, and I know people are frustrated that Terrell Thomas is out the word about the secondary, but I really don't think he got hurt they rushed him.
And there's also some panic, John, as you touched on earlier, because Hosley, most people maybe think we don't know what his timetable is going to be, but I think they pretty much can get him back perhaps as early as the opener. It's not as if it's a devastating serious injury for Hosley, so keep that in mind. Hosley gets back, the depth chart for the secondary looks a lot better than it does today.
No question. 201-939-4513. Go to the BK. Say what's up to Delmar. What's up, bud?
Hello?
Hey, Delmar. What's on your mind?
All right, guys. I want to ask about Terrell Thomas. They didn't put him on the PUP list. Is there any way he comes back before week six?
Well, they can't put him on the PUP list because he practiced in training camp. Once a guy actually hits the practice field for you, you can't put him on the PUP list anymore. So that's why he didn't get put on the PUP list. I think if the Giants could have put him on the PUP list, I think they have, much like they did with Chris Canty. I think the earliest you'll see Terrell Thomas, he just started running. Oh, boy. The Eagles game. Last week of September, maybe. That's the fourth game of the season, fifth game of the season against Cleveland on the 7th of October. I think the most optimistic scenarios has him returning for Philly. But I think Cleveland's probably a lot more likely. And who knows, if he comes back slowly, you know, you might end up IRing him too. Who knows?
Which is why the PUP list would have been a great option. And I know Len touched on this, and we didn't necessarily discuss it in great detail, why the Giants didn't put him on the PUP list even before training camp. But once again, it goes back to the fact they felt he was at the stage where he was ready for contact situations right at the start of training camp.
And hold on a second. If you put him on PUP list before camp, we're having Giant fans call the show saying, Terrell Thomas says he's healthy. We have Michael Coe and Justin Tryon as our second and third corners. Why is Terrell Thomas on the PUP list? We want him out there playing. So it's easy to have 20/20 hindsight and try to change what happened in the past. But the bottom line is that the medical people, they look at MRIs and it was healed. He was good. He felt good. He wanted to practice back at minicamp. And look, injuries happen.
And this relates also to a new rule that was in play. I'm not sure if all Giants fans or all football fans are familiar. In the offseason, there was a discussion that they were going to allow one player who was put on IR to come back mid-season. The players' union last week did not agree to that rule because there were other rule tweaks connected to that. So that's not going to be put in play as well as moving the trade deadline back. That would have been another interesting factor, especially for the Giants, because they could have put Terrell Thomas on IR to start the season, and then he's healthy, let's say, into week eight, they bring him back.
Right.
That option has never been at play, and unfortunately, it's not going to be in play for this season because the union didn't agree.
Or even better, if he can't come back, the Giants can make a move and try to bring in a defensive back via trade, and they can wait longer if the trade deadline got pushed back. So
the urgency to make a move is not there.
Exactly. And I don't understand why they wouldn't approve the IR thing, or more specifically, moving the trade deadline back, because the NFL trade deadline is notoriously quiet. It happens after, week six or something? Yeah, week six. I mean, at that point, every team doesn't – what team wants to tell your fan base after week six that, we're giving up? Don't bother showing up for the next five home games. Sorry. No one wants to do that. That's why there's no trade action. You wait till week eight, week 10, all of a sudden you're going to have more movement.
Especially with a lot of division races in the last couple of seasons relatively close. Look at the AFC West, for example.
And how about teams at 7-9, 8-8 making the playoffs and winning their division? Why would you give up after six games?
You add a player week 10, that could change your whole outlook in terms of the playoffs.
201-939-4513. Josh is in New York. What's up, Josh?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. What's going on?
I was just wondering if you guys think Keith Rivers has what it takes to become a starter.
Well, he better, because he's probably starting week one, because Michael Boley's hamstring is pretty screwed up. He spoke to the media yesterday. And it didn't sound like to me that he's going to be ready to play next Wednesday against the Cowboys. So I think Keith Rivers has stayed healthy, which is the most important thing. He's played well in training camp. And look, if you're going to pick somebody on the defense to get hurt, Bowie's not a bad guy, only because you have a top 10 talent to replace him. Not that Bowie's not a great player, he is, but you got to like Rivers, who's been in the league a while, has the physical ability, top 10 pick. That's a pretty good luxury to have.
You have the depth at the linebacker position. I'm not saying there's reason to be concerned with Bowie not healthy, but let's be honest here, Giants fans. Bowie hasn't been too healthy in seasons prior, so this shouldn't necessarily be a shocking development.
And he's had hamstrings before, too.
You just don't want it to linger. But remember, all of the rookies last year, to me, are like juniors now.
Well, Jaquan Williams, too. Think of it. He's another guy that could play that spot.
Herzlick. I mean, the list goes on and on. The experience they gained last season, if they were put on any other team that was fully healthy, there was no way they were going to have as much experience under their belts as they have right now.
So they totally skipped their sophomore year.
They
did. Telling me.
They moved ahead.
Lance is skipping them a grade.
They got straight A's. They're right into their junior year. There's no question. I mean, back to a serious nature here. Where else are they going to get the type of experience that they got last year?
Played 20 games.
That's going to help them this season.
Got the preseason.
So if I'm looking at this depth chart right now, if there's any position on defense, I mean, other than maybe the defensive end spot, I feel pretty good about the linebacker core because all of these guys I think could be ready to play if their number was called week one. You may not love the matchups, but you do have to like the fact that the experience gives them an edge.
It certainly puts them further ahead than other young linebackers might be in the same situation. Not that you want first-year, second-year players to be in that situation, but if you know you have to, you have to.
Worst-case scenario, they give you contributions on special teams, and you know how on the Giants you need to be a versatile player.
All right, finally, before we say goodbye here, Lance, it's past 10 o'clock. Great job by the callers, by the way, and our friends on Twitter at #GiantsChat. Tonight, where do you think we're going to have positions and roster spots decided, rather Wednesday night, when the Giants take
tonight,
on the Patriots?
Tonight, I was going to be like, are they adding another preseason game? You started the show complaining about the preseason, and now you're calling for an additional game. What, do I have an intra-squad scrimmage tonight?
I set up a scrimmage in my backyard. It's going to be 7-on-7, no contact, and we're going to try to figure some stuff out.
Are you going to be officiating?
Of course.
So you got the zebra uniform already?
No. I don't do the zebra thing. I have the own, like, custom referee thing going.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good.
So that means if the officials continue to go on strike, they may have to, turn to you at one point.
I am about as close to the bottom of the barrel as you could possibly get, my friend. They're going to go through corpses of former officials before they get to me.
That's not saying much if you've watched the preseason. So, let's be honest. They have a long way to go.
Be careful. Call Johnson might come in here and pull you out and throw you in some kind of secret NFL prison on Park Avenue.
I'm just admitting what I've seen. That's all. It's a learning curve, though. But getting back to your point about what positions are at stake tomorrow night.
And by the way, on the officials, they're saying you might not have a resolution until week 3 or 4 now. That's what the news reports say. But you know what? Week 1, I think leverage-wise, Lance, if you see some really terrible calls, you're going to see the leverage kind of shift with the officials. Or if the replacements happen to do well, which is a possibility, they could, get their act together and do a good job. Momentum might swing to the league side, then the referees might cave. So I think that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on.
Well, I say better to work out the kinks in the preseason.
Yes.
And they've experienced a lot of woes now.
I think they've improved those they've gone along. I think the last two crews have been better than the first crew.
It's a fair synopsis. I would agree with
good
that.
Good use of synopsis.
Well, I mean, I think you gave a nice overview of what's happened and transpired over the last couple of
weeks.
Anyway,
what spots can be won Wednesday night when the Giants take on the Patriots?
Well, I think that they want to add some depth to that defensive tackle spot. Okay. Linville Joseph and Rocky Bernard going in, I think, are going to be the starters, but a guy like Dwayne Hendricks could certainly map out a role for himself.
Marcus Kuhn.
Those two guys, and I think their chances of making the roster have improved. Not that they were on the bubble necessarily, but given that Canty's not in the... Well, Kuhn more so than Hendricks. I think Hendricks has done a nice job that he pretty... I'm not saying solidified, but he'd be more on the roster than on the outside.
All right, fair enough.
Wide receiver spot, to me, Ramsey's Barden needs to prove that he can put back-to-back solid performances together.
Okay. I can see that.
Made a very nice statement the other night. Darrell Scott, same thing. Back-to-back performances. The Giants are looking for consistency. They're not looking for flashes. Specifically from a guy like Barden.
That's a great point. Coach Coughlin has made that point many times before.
Well, how many times have we seen Barden make one good play, and then Eli Manning and him are not in sync 10 plays later? So Barden needs to prove, you go out, you make three or four catches, you grab a touchdown, you draw a penalty. It's not just making the catches. Keep that in mind. It's the little things that move the chains. That was a big-time penalty that he drew. That moved the ball to the one-yard line. Andre Brown runs in for a touchdown. That helps you win football games. So Barden, to me, and Scott need to really duplicate those performances. As I mentioned, Hendricks on the defensive line. And regarding the secondary, a guy like Tryon, I think you want to see maybe what he can do, and Michael Coe. Michael Coe, and I know Coughlin talked about this in his press conferences after the game, Brandon Marshall was tested on every one of those catches. He may have made the catch, but you had to have liked what you saw in terms of aggressiveness
Coe was right there.
Out of Michael Coe.
Agreed.
Now, I know Giants fans are saying, I'd rather see Prince Amukamara out there, and I'm not going to argue. But you know what? A guy got an opportunity. His number has been called. At least you know he's going out there, and he's
a veteran.
Making the most of it.
And he's a veteran. He's been around. He knows what he's doing. I'm going to throw another guy out there, and everyone kind of just assumes, and I totally understand why they would assume this, that the Giants are only going to keep two quarterbacks. And I get why you would think that. It's what they've always done. But I think you have seen a good amount of improvement out of Perilou as the preseason's gone along. In these games, he hasn't got a lot of protection. He's kind of got, you know, the you-know-what beat out of him in a couple of these games. But you're going to see him play a whole half of football against the Patriots. He's getting better at reading defenses and getting rid of the ball quicker, which is something he's really struggled with. And I think if he shows the Giants enough where he can move the ball, move the team, make some plays – maybe not a spot in the 53, but I think he'll solidify himself on the practice squad or maybe even find a backup job elsewhere in the league if he plays really well in the second half. He has a great arm. He's a studious kid. He's a good kid. And I think there's a pretty good chance if he plays well that if he doesn't find a spot here, he can find a spot somewhere else.
Unfortunately, given the injuries, I would say it's going to be real tough the Giants to keep three quarterbacks.
Yep.
And I know we got a call earlier about keeping seven wide receivers. If they can't keep seven wide receivers, it's going to be even that much more difficult to keep three quarterbacks. But you're right. He has an opportunity to audition, for other roles throughout the course of the league.
Then you have the final offensive line spot on the interior. Is Mitch Petras automatically back on this team? We'll take a look at that. You have the three tackles, obviously. Is Jimmy Cordell on this team as the team's backup center? Or do you use Kevin Booth as your backup center and you move him over if, you know, a guy gets hurt? So those are things you have to look at. Does Adewale Ajomo find a way to get on this team after two very strong preseason performances? That's something to keep an eye on. How many of these linebackers, these junior linebackers, as you would call them, do they keep? Do you keep Paysinger and Greg Jones? Another thing to keep an eye on. How many running backs do you keep? Do you keep three? Do you keep four? It's a good question, too.
If Boley's down, Kiwanuka's banged up, maybe at least to start the season.
And Prince is down and Hosley's down. Can you really afford to keep four running backs?
And, you know, another guy that's been hurt, and you wonder, does it hurt his chances, given the injuries to other spots, Adrian Tracy?
Yeah, you know what? I get why you would ask that. And obviously, whenever you have somebody that's your fourth or fifth at any position gets hurt and misses time, could it cost them? No doubt about it. But I really think they like his raw ability to rush the passer from the outside. But you're right. Are you going to keep a guy like Adrian Tracy who can't play with a hamstring? Are you going to keep Adewale Ajomo, a guy who just does nothing but make plays in preseason games?
Yeah, that's going to be a real tough call. And we've seen the Giants sometimes cut ties with guys that just have not been able to get out on the field.
Oh, Justin Chateau, a perfect example. A guy that Coach Coughlin loved and always said good things about. He hurt his ankle and he couldn't play in these preseason games, and the Giants had to let him go.
Yeah, I have only X amount of spots to throw out there.
All right, give me your one thing you're looking for. I don't want to give a key to the game. Give me one nugget on the game tomorrow night. Just
against
like
the Patriots, the fourth preseason game. You're asking me for the key to the game?
Give me. I don't want. I said I don't want a key to the game. Give me a little Lance Nettle nugget here that fans can enjoy.
Well, listen, I don't know who the Patriots are going to throw out there, and the Giants, I don't expect to see a lot of their starters.
Well, I know who the Patriots aren't going to throw out there. You're not going to see Tom Brady, Wes Welker, Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, probably not much of Stephen Ridley, and that's probably the list on offense. Oh, yeah, maybe Malcolm, yeah, Floyd, too, as well.
No, I would not expect to see much, especially with the beatings Brady has taken so far in the preseason. The last thing they want to do is put him in a position where he could get hurt.
I'm sure Giselle wrote a very firmly worded letter that she doesn't want him getting banged up in that fourth preseason game.
Well, I wouldn't take the chance with one series, especially with the pressure packages that the Giants are going to throw at the Patriots offensive line. I mean, Brady's going to be running out to the parking lot.
And you're probably not going to see Pierre Paul either because he's still trying to get back from that back injury, which makes sense. It's
you don't
smart.
Need to
no
play these
to
guys
play
at
him.
This point.
I wonder if they're going to want to see if BD can play in a game and see how he comes out of the game. You're going to see Knicks play. That's yeah. something we should have mentioned. You're going to see Akeem Knicks out on the field for the first time, which is kind of what I suspect would happen all along, that he would get like one or two series in the final preseason game and that's it. It's always good to see him out there running full speed and, you know, making some plays.
Yeah, I guess that's
well,
all
and he
I
doesn't
got.
Get hit in practice, which is something right. he touched on. So mm-hmm. you want to experience that before you start the regular season, just to make sure that you don't fear re-aggravation of the injury. In terms of a little nugget here that you're trying to get out on me, I think I'll just repeat pretty much what I emphasized, a statement and an opportunity for the guys that we have seen produce in the last preseason game. And to me, I circle the names of Ramses Barden and Darrell Scott, because I still say they're somewhat on the bubble given the injuries to other positions. They have not solidified spots on these rosters. If they want to map out something on special teams or have a role in the third receiver spot, this is the game for them to take advantage of that, even if it's not against the top secondary players for the Patriots.
And I'll say this. I want to see, and this usually does happen in the fourth preseason game, one of the undrafted guys or a free agent or somebody that flies under the radar has a big fourth game and tries to lay their claim for a roster spot. Let's see who that guy is. I think it could be an Andre Brown. I think it could be a David Douglas. I think it could be a Dan DePalma. Guys like that who can kind of make a statement and say, I deserve to make this team. And I think maybe a big play on defense, an interception by one of the like a Dante Hughes, something like that in the secondary. You know, a guy makes a play and you're like, maybe we should think about this guy.
Or even a big play on special teams to see maybe if somebody can carve out a role.
Yeah, and Coach Coughlin wants nothing more than to see a big return. And obviously, when you get to the bottom of the roster, how effective you're going to be on special teams is going to go a long way towards whether or not you can make this team.
I agree with you 100%. If you can do a wide receiver role and a special teamer, a linebacker role and a special teamer,
helps.
Your chances of making the team increase exponentially.
All right, Mr. Meadow, so you're going to be in on Friday. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so we'll see you then. We're getting ready for the regular season.
So now, is it safe to say we'll be talking Cowboys a bit on Friday?
We'll talk Giants-Cowboys. That's correct. Well, okay. Little, you know, because Friday is the equivalent of a Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a weird week.
Okay, so Giant fans that are out there, this is the way this building works. I'm not sure if you guys understand this.
This is stimulating radio right now.
No, I think
everybody
I think
sit back and enjoy, get the popcorn
out. I
can't wait to hear
this
dissertation.
So now, here's how the schedule works in the building. You have assumed that a game's on a Sunday, and that's how you have your regular weekly schedule, all right? So next Wednesday is actually a Sunday, which means Tuesday's a Saturday, which means the players will only have a little walkthrough early, and there's no media avails or anything like that. Monday is really a Friday, so the players will be out of here around, 2:30 in the afternoon after practice is over, something like that. We'll talk to the players and the media. Thursday Sunday will really be a Thursday, so the media will be here of all the regular stuff on Giants.com. Wednesday will be coaches' press conference, which is actually going to be Saturday this week, so on and so forth. So Friday is actually a Tuesday, which means the players will not be here, but we will be here doing the show, and should be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a bundle of joy.
Are you thrilled?
Oh, I'm thrilled. To work alongside you again, there's nothing that gets better than that, John. You don't need to say anything else past that.
Well, I'm happy I can make all your career dreams come true by working alongside me, Lance. I'm very happy to help you out with that.
I'm counting the days to Friday right now.
All right, everybody. Enjoy your preseason game tomorrow night. Big Blue Kickoff Live comes to you every weekday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. Regular season coming should be a whole heck of a lot of fun. It's brought to you by Andrew Mark, of course, and you can listen on Giants.com and, of course, on your mobile app on your phone. So, thanks for listening, everybody. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. See you tomorrow.
Have a good one.